In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we're going to focus on Louisa, Image and Likeness of the Divine Will, Part 2. This is the one we're supposed to be on, and this is good. So Volume 17, 8, 9, 19, 24. More than a Mother Earth is my divine will for the soul who lives and operates in my divine will. So we hear a lot of Mother Earth, and God uses this term to help us recognize that, you know, this thing that we're talking about, Mother Earth, it's God is more than this, than just Mother Earth. And a lot of people want to heal the earth. They want to heal, you know, save the whales, save the eagles. It's more than this. It's to enter into the life of God. It's not to become gods, but to participate in God. So Jesus says this: more than a tender mother, I, Jesus, hide her, the soul, in my divine will to help her, to let the seed of the human will die. Okay. Now, again, the human will was made for God. God doesn't want it dead. He wants it dead to us. He doesn't want the human will to have no life. He says that's where God is going to dwell. He says, I made the universe for man, but the human will for God. And when Adam said, no, I'm going to do what I want. When Adam said that, what happened at that point was Jesus says that he became in charge of his life. Okay, so once you become in charge of your life, what happens is you're in charge, and everything goes wrong for us when we're in charge. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That says that you're in charge. If you're complaining, you're saying you're in charge. God isn't good enough to get you through what's going on, you know. And when we're complaining about people, and that's what most of us do, that's a trick of the devil, Lucifer. He says, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. And our whole time is, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? You become frustrated. Jesus says that he is in charge. He's the Lord of our life. And it's not to look at them and to point fingers at them. What was that old saying? When you point your finger, you got four pointing back at you. Four fingers pointing back at you, or really three fingers and a thumb. But what God is asking is that we stop looking around and complaining. They're doing this and they're doing that. And I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Like you're something that's important. Jesus didn't complain. Mary didn't complain. They gave their fiat. Yes, this is what I have to go through. Fiat, let it be done. Even on Calvary, what did the Blessed Mother do? She gave her fiat. She watched her son die. So Jesus says, I help let the seed of her human will die, that she may be reborn in my most holy divine will. So this rebirth, that's why Jesus calls Louisa the newborn, the firstborn of the divine will. She has let God bring this rebirth in her. And the rebirth is peace, joy, and happiness. It's heaven. Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. And he, the Lord God Almighty, is going to open the doors so that the kingdom is established. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for this abundant life to come out, for everyone to begin to live. This is how Adam was before the fall. So Jesus says, because I formed my beloved plant. I mean, he looks at us. He looks at us as we are his children, but just like the plants that he created in creation that's blooming, he says, I want this blossoming to take place. I want this perfection to take place. So he says, I nourish the soul with the celestial milk of my divinity. So the food that God is giving us, like a mother would give food to her baby, the milk from the mother would nourish the baby. Jesus says, everything around you, creation, redemption, he says, is to nourish you, to nurture you, to enter into sanctification. This is why we're here. To become, not just to become good and holy and saintly, that's what the saints have taught us for the last 2,000 years, but go beyond that. We have to start out by becoming a divine mirror of Jesus. That's why Jesus gave us volume 1 through volume 10. But now God is asking, would you enter into this gift so that what will come about is the sharing in the divine power of the Holy Spirit, living the life that Jesus lived, living the life that Mary lived, that the new Adam and the new Eve, so that then we can finally get to this life of the divine inheritance of the Father. That means that we're going to be clothed in nobility again. Adam was naked. He lost the clothing of nobility by doing his human will. So Jesus says, I want to put to rest the human will in humanity so that the divine will can reign again, so that we can go back to where we were before the fall. So he says, my jealousy is such that I keep the soul attached to my breast and I remain pressed around her that she may grow beautiful, strong in all in my divine likeness. So through holy baptism, we enter into God's image. And now God is asking us to enter into his likeness. So what does the Lord do? A lot of people get involved in the divine will. And what happens is they stay the same, basically. Oh, I'm living in the divine will. I'm living in the divine will. And they're complaining. They're negative. They're worried. They're fearful. They're a mess. That's not the divine will. You might think that you're in the divine will, but you have to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. This is what Jesus tells Louisa. If we don't have the holiness of Christ's humanity, if we don't possess the totality of Christ's holiness while he was on earth, if there's anything in us that is separates us from God's holiness, Jesus says, then you must go to purgatory. You must be purged of all of that that is not of Jesus, not of God, not of Mary. So what the Lord is asking us is he's saying, how much are you working on perfection? Are you still complaining? Are you still grunting, I got to do this and I got to do that. And oh, I got to do it. No. Or are you peaceful, joyful, and happy? So Jesus is testing us. He's saying, I want you to receive this milk of the divine will, this food of the divine will. He says, like a baby in the arms of his mother. This is what I want. I want to feed you continuously. He says, so I remain pressed around you. Jesus is always there. Through our holy angels, through our conscience, he leads us to the church, the sacraments and sacramentals. He leads us to live this abundant life. This is what he's waiting for. So he says, so that you, this is what he says, will remain beautiful and strong all in my likeness. So he says in volume 17, 8, 14, 19, 24, the souls who live in my divine will are my true repeaters. We repeat the life of Jesus. We repeat the life of Mary. What is the life of Jesus? What is the life of Mary? It's fiat. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, to the point of no sin. See, what the Lord wants is he Adam didn't have the image and likeness of Jesus and Mary to follow as his Adam, as his Eve. And that's why he fell, Jesus said. He says, what God wants to give to us now is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So he says very, very clearly, the souls who live in my divine will are my true repeaters, my inseparable images that are portrayed in them. This is Jesus portrayed in each and every one of us, absorbed again in Jesus, so that everything that we think, say, and do may remain with the seal that are those of my divine works as they continue my office on earth. So Jesus says, what I'm waiting for is to find souls that are like me, like my mother, image and likeness. He says, when I find the souls, and why? Because the life of Jesus was focused on the divine will. The life of Mary was focused on the divine will. To have this image and likeness of Jesus and Mary means to be free of all that is human, all the misery of the human will. to live fully in the divine will. So Jesus says, when I find the souls who want the divine will more than anything, I will give it to the world. So this is what God is waiting for. He's waiting to reveal this to all of humanity. He says, those that continue my office, my life, my mother's life on earth. Volume 17, 10, 20, 10, 11, 19, 24. Each truth that I've manifested to you, Louisa, was a particle of my divine qualities. So you think about it. The 10,000 pages in the Book of Heaven, each truth that's found a number of truths in each page is a particle of my divine quality in which I, God, embellished, I, God, want to fill your soul. So this is, as you're reading this, as you're reading and studying the Book of Heaven, everything changes for you. A new beginning happens for all of mankind. And it begins with you. It begins when you begin to enter into this abundant life. You are peaceful, joyful, and happy. What happens? Your family becomes peaceful, joyful, and happy. And again, it's not at a snap of the fingers. God had to work very hard to get you to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. And a lot of times you're not still peaceful. You're not joyful. You're not happy. So he's working on you first so that he can give this life to your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. You know, when you look at somebody and go, why are you doing that? You know, hey, we were far worse than that. Yet Jesus has brought us back to him, to himself. And so he's asking us, would you begin to live this abundant life, to be peaceful around your family, to be joy-filled around your family, to be happy around your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners? If you're miserable, there's misery all around everyone. They don't want that. But if you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, Jesus says, I am there. You're not giving life to the fallen human nature. You're not giving life to it. So Jesus says, this is what I'm looking for. Each grace and each coming of mine, basically when Jesus reveals these truths, these manifested gifts to you, were gifts that I have poured upon you. Okay. It's like going outside in the rain. You're getting soaked with this life, this light, this love of God. As you read the Book of Heaven, your life changes when you read the Book of Heaven. He says, but I did nothing but multiply my communications almost at each instant so as to portray in you my various divine beauties, my divine likeness, that you might live with me in heaven and that I might live with you on earth. So one of the things that's so beautiful about your prevenient act in the morning is when you give your prevenient act to Jesus, when you say to Jesus, I want to live this abundant life. What does Jesus say? He says, good. He says, how are you going to act today? And our response should be what Our Lady told Louisa. I want to live more of heaven today than of earth. What is heaven? Peace, joy, and happiness. What is earth? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. See, that old saying, be a friend, make a friend, bring a friend to Christ. You're not going to bring a friend to Christ. You're not going to bring anyone to want to live the life of Jesus and Mary when you're miserable. Nobody wants that. There's enough misery around the world. Why do I need your misery? But when you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, Jesus says, good. I am transforming you. I'm transmuting you. You're grace filled, he says. He says, so I did nothing but multiply my communications almost at each instant so as to portray in you this divine masterpiece, this my various divine beauties, my divine likenesses, that you may live with me in heaven and that I might live with you on earth. When you do your prevenient act, you have to say to Jesus, today I want to live the life of heaven. In all situations, whatever you present to me, Jesus, it's fiat. Whatever you present to me, it's yes. Our Lady was at the foot of the cross silent. She didn't complain. She wasn't anxious. She wasn't worried. Jesus, I trust in you. The final devotion that Jesus has given to his church is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. Today, I'm going to live heaven, no longer the way of earth. So this is what Jesus is waiting for. He says, and after all this, you doubt my love for you. Rather, I say to you, think about loving me and I shall think about loving you evermore. So what does that mean? Think about loving Jesus. The main thing that we should be doing is looking at Christ crucified. Meditating on Christ crucified. That's how much he loved us. Every drop of his blood was shed so that he could redeem us. Now Jesus says, I want to sanctify you. And he says, don't forget what I have done for you. Don't forget what my mother has done for you. You have to begin to live this life of thankfulness. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. And then what happens if you really believe that? You spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and worshiping him. We begin to live the life of the saints, volume 1 through volume 10. We begin just scratching at the surface to begin to live the life of the power of the Holy Spirit, where God wants to transform us to live this life of the divine will. And then again, we're just beginning to enter into receiving back the divine inheritance of the Father. Our Lord loves us very much. He's got great plans. And we're in them if we can give our fiat. So Jesus says in volume 17, 6, 11, 19, 25, now our paternal goodness has so much love for mankind, for creatures, that it has established the balance of man within our divine will. So God is saying, he loves us so much that he died on the cross. Our Lady was with Christ on Calvary, dying on Calvary with Jesus. Why? He says, so that you'll be balanced with the divine will. What does that mean? It's mutual possession. God possesses us and we possess God. There's this balance. It's not out of balance. It's not man doing what he wants to do and going into hell. It's Jesus one with us, bringing us to live heaven on earth. Since man had come out of the supreme will, it was right that this will make itself the life and maintain the balance of all the operating of mankind, giving back to mankind the divine likeness of his creator, of his God. Such dignity, majesty, and order in acting were to be seen in humanity. Okay, let's look at this right here. Where's the dignity of Jesus in you? Do we dress so that we give glory to God? What does Scripture say? On Sunday, dress to give honor to the Lord. Do we dress to give honor to the Lord today? What do a lot of people do? A lot of people will polish their car on Sunday. Oh, it's the day I can polish my car. Day I can water my lawn. Day I can trim the bushes. Now, day I can, get everything ready to make it look good. That's for Mother Earth. What do we do for God every day? Do we dress to honor him? Clothe ourselves to make him look great? I mean, that it's very, very important what do we do? How do we dress when we go to Holy Mass? Is it to dress appropriately for God? When you think about it, it's all we're saying to God is, I want you to be honored by the way I look. I want you to be honored so that you, God, can receive the glory of your divine masterpiece. I remember a time when we were first flying, everybody wore a suit and tie. Everybody dressed appropriately for travel. I see pictures of my my father and my grandfather wearing hats. They had suit and ties on, wearing hats. But when they were in the field working, they were dressed like farmers. But when they were with God at church, they dressed appropriately. Our job should say to the Lord, I want to honor you by the way I look. I want to honor you, Lord, so that you can receive the glory that you deserve. You don't go to a fancy ball and dress like you just got off the field. You clean yourself up. This is the same thing spiritually. God wants us to recognize him. So it says very clearly, so such is the dignity, the majesty, the order in acting that were to be seen in mankind to make humanity, again, be recognized as a birth from their maker. Are we recognized as true children of God by our smiles, by our happiness, by our joy, by our peace? Or are we misers? What do you want to say? Counting our money. Oh, this is important to me. No, what's important to Jesus is that we become his children, peaceful, joyful, and happy. To recognize that who the Lord is in all of creation. That's why when you do your prevenient act, you fuse yourself not only with the Holy Trinity, not only with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, but you fuse yourself with all of creation. It belongs to you, all of redemption. It belongs to you so that we can enter into sanctification. This is the life of Jesus. This is the life of Mary. I see so often, portraits of Jesus wearing raggy clothes. I don't believe that. I don't believe that that Jesus just threw on anything because he was poor. No, I believe that when Jesus walked out into the presence of people, he looked excellent. Why? His mother made sure he looked beautiful. It says that they couldn't keep their eyes off Jesus. Do you think it was just because he combed his hair? No, it was because he dressed as the Son of God. He dressed beautifully. And therefore, today in our society, anything goes. It seems like the more weird you look, the happier people are. It's to recognize that we are true sons and daughters of God. This is what God is waiting for. So he says this, volume 18, 9, 8, 9, 19, 25. In sum, each created thing preaches to man the divine qualities of his creator. With mute voices, they tell him how much I, God, love humanity. So yesterday I was working outside and one flower, one rose of Sharon was right next to the faucet. And every time I went to the faucet and I looked, there's this beauty of God in great detail. I mean, as Jesus says, no one can compare to what God has done in creation. And every time I walked past this, I see this one flower blooming. And it was like Jesus saying, look how beautiful, how much I love you. Look at the beauty that I've given to you. It's to begin to recognize beauty all around you and to become beautiful. This is what God is asking for. Not to be like the rest of the world, but to live this reflection of the beauty of God. So Jesus says this, the mute voice of this flower telling me how much God loves me. We have to begin to hear this with these mute voices. We have to begin to see this. God is reflecting all his divinity around us. Have we looked at the sky to see the beauty of the clouds, the beauty of the tone of the color in the sky? Do we begin to hear, see, smell, and taste it? all of the I love yous around us? Or are we focused on ourselves? What I'm going to do, it's like, no, be free of yourself in order to love God, to see God in everything around us. So he says this very, very clearly. On the other hand, in creating man, it was not just our will, but the emanation that came out from the womb of God, a part of ourselves that we, triune God, have infused in humanity in such a way that this is why we created him with a free will, that he might grow always, listen to this, in beauty first. That's the first thing he says. In beauty, in wisdom, in virtue. See, he wants us, I mean, can you imagine a mother giving birth to a child and the child is completely opposite of beauty? Jesus says, what I want, and this is what I find a lot of people, well, I'm not pretty. I'm not as pretty as those people. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's who you are. You're a child of God. And then we have to begin to respect this beauty that God has breathed into us. This is what he's waiting for. In our likeness, Jesus says, in our virtue, he could multiply his goods with his graces that God fills us with. It's not about us. It's all about God. How are we living? How are we manifesting our life, you know, to live a life of beauty, to live a life, as Jesus says, in wisdom, in virtue, in the likeness of God. So the Lord has done so much for us. He's asking us, can you begin to understand what I've done for you? Volume 18, 10, 17, 19, 25. Sorry. Now, since the eternal wisdom has established that the soul too should have food, the soul was assigned by the supreme will as delicious food, so that no one takes this food in strong and doing good. She is as though soaked with the love of her God. Excuse me. Okay, so the soul is assigned the supreme will as delicious food. Okay, so God's going to feed us. Okay, what is this delicious food? The soul takes this food as strength in doing good, as she is soaked with the love for her God, for her God. See, God is breathing this I love you into us with it in the divine will, so that we can breathe back to God this divine I love you. It's mutual. It's the waves of the shore. It's the breath, breathe in, breathe out. It's the heart pumping blood in, pumping blood out. This I love you of God is constantly being given to us. This strength, this purity. And Jesus says, why do I do this? So that you can share in my divinity. So that you, when you say, Jesus, I want to love you in the divine will, Jesus says, I'm doing that in you. A human can't do a divine act, but Jesus says, I can do a divine act. And I want you to share in my divinity. Why should we be focused on anybody around us if we're breathing in this divine I love you, breathing out this divine I love you back to God? Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. Jesus says, this food increases the divine blood in order to form the growth of the life of God within us. See, he's breathing in our breathing. Why? He says to have God have formed this growth of divine life within us. This is why we're alive. And if we see what Jesus is trying to do with the book of heaven, Jesus is trying to convince us this is something that the saints would love. They learned how to do the will of God. Jesus is asking us to live in the will of God, which they taught Louisa. Jesus and Mary taught Louisa this. So like the sun, it is reflected in her intelligence. Okay, this light, this love, this life of God is reflected in our intelligence. Makes her know her God, her creator, and be formed in the likeness of God. So why are we here on earth? To get what we want? No, it's to get what God wants. It's to enter into the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, to become a newborn like Louisa, so that for all eternity, God's going to show us who he is. And for all eternity, we are going to be in the arms of our creator. He's going to take care of us completely. That's why we're here. And a lot of times we have to get into terrible situations, horrible situations, sinful situations. Why? To turn us back to God. He says, do you want to live like this? Do you want to go to hell for all eternity? And we say, no. He says, oh, then come to me. I'll take care of you. Okay, that's what he said to his apostles. You know, learn from me, for I'm gentle and meek of heart. He says, life is easy. My burden is light. He says, I'll take care of you. Trust what God is doing. The final devotion that Jesus gave to the church before he returns, he says, is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. I have confidence in you. So Jesus says, put the likeness in the whole of the soul in order to put all the virtue in force to push the soul to new works, to sacrifices unheard of. Say, well, what does that mean, sacrifice? To give up your human will, to begin to live this divine will, to give up misery, give up worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Sacrifice that. Nail it to the cross with Jesus, because that's where it is. Why? So that you can begin to live this abundant life. Sacrifice your human will, he says. That's what Jesus constantly says to Louisa. Why? So that you can begin to live this abundant life. He says, the food of my divine will give itself in every instant, in each breath, at night, during the day, in each thing, as many times as one wants, nor is there any danger as with corporal food, that in taking too much of it may do harm and even produce illness. No. Rather, the more one takes of the divine will, the more the divine will fortifies, the more the divine will raises the soul to the likeness of her God, of her creator. So the more that we can learn this, the more God is changing us, transmuting us. We're getting out of the mud and being clothed in divine nobility. I mean, we should, people, when they see us, should say, I want what he has. I want what she has. I want this joy. I want this happiness. I want this peace that the world cannot give us. Jesus can give this to us, and he already has, through holy baptism. And now in the image of God, now God wants to give us the likeness of God. And how's he doing it? Through the book of heaven. This is what God is doing. One can remain with one's mouth always opened. That's a bird in the nest when the mother comes. Always opened, waiting to be fed, chirping, waiting to be fed, disposing herself to die eternally, always remain open in the act of taking the celestial food, all the opposite for the soul who does not take this food of the divine will. For the one who does not take it all, it can be said that she disposed herself to die eternally. God is feeding us continuously. We are that little bird in the nest, waiting to be fed. Waiting to be fed. And Jesus says, I will feed you continuously as much as you want, and you can't get sick. I will feed you as much as you want, 30, 60, or 100 fold. For as for the one who seldom feeds herself, the soul is weak, inconstant, and good, and she is cold in love. She is lacking in divine blood in such a way that the divine life grows as though anemic within her. The light of her intelligence is so dim. See, that's what's happening for most people in the religious life. They haven't been taught in 60 years. The catechism basically was thrown out. So God in his wisdom has given us the book of heaven, As we read and study the book of heaven, we fall more in love with Jesus, more in love with Mary, more in love with the Holy Church, more in love with the sacraments. We want to spend more time with our Eucharistic Lord. We want to pray the rosary. We want to meditate on the life of Jesus and Mary. Our intellect, memory, and will are changing to what the way God has planned from the beginning. He says, the light of her intelligence without the divine will is so dim that she knows little or nothing of her creator. And that knowing God, his likeness is so far away from her, for as much as she is far away from the food of his most holy divine will, the food of the divine will, the first bread of the divine will. The Lord wants us to begin to live this abundant life. He really does. But he's not going to get in our way. If we want to be focused on things, then God goes, good. That's what I have to give you. If you're focused on him, God says, this is great. I can share with you my divinity. Now, the interesting thing is most of our family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, parishioners show us the second. They don't know or care to want to know about the things of God. And God doesn't want them in hell. God doesn't want them away from him. So what he'll do is he'll give them a time to recollect, a time to think about what they're doing. And usually that happens with tragedy. Sin begets sin. God isn't doing this. Sin begets sin. And the tragedy that occurs in their life wakes them up. Hopefully, that they can turn to God completely before they die. So Jesus says to us, would you be willing to sacrifice yourself for them? How? By repairing and redoing in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. So when you see something happening in your family that's against God, against the church, what you say to the Lord is, Lord, thank you for showing this to me. I'm sorry it's happening to you, Lord. You're the one that's being offended. And Lord, I want to repair this. I want to redo this in the holy divine will as if it never happened. God goes, good. That's what Moses did. Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites. Jesus tells us to stand in the bridge for all the world, for all of humanity. And when you see something in your family, it's a sign. Jesus is saying to you, I pray for all my children. Repair for all my children. And what happens? We begin to live this abundant life of repairing and redoing. This is what God is asking. Volume 18, 11, 9, 19, 25. My daughter, I want you to fuse yourself in my divine will. First, coming before the Supreme Majesty to reorder all human wills with the will of their creator, to repair with my own divine will for all the acts of the wills of creatures opposed to my divine will. My divine will came out of us, triune God, in order to divinize the creature. And we do what we want. And when this will is rejected by them to do their own human will, it is the most direct offense against God, against their creator. It is to deny all the goods of creation and to move away from God's divine likeness. So Jesus is explaining to us what I just said. Fuse yourself with God in the beginning when you do your prevenient act. Come before the Supreme Majesty to reorder everyone and everything. Jesus, reorder everything and everyone. I want to be part of that. Let it be done to me as you wish. And he says, I want to repair with your own divine will all the acts of all humanity that's opposed to you. Divine will came out of us, triune God, Jesus said, in order to divinize the souls, divinize your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, not only you. And Jesus says, and we'll do what we want. God is going to accomplish this. And when this will is rejected by your friends, your families, your neighbors, your coworkers to do their own human will, it is the most direct offense against God. And we say, Lord, I want to repair this for them. They can't do this right now. You're allowing me to be aware of it so that I can do this. Thank you, Jesus. It's not to point out to them, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. It's to repair, redo. It is to deny all the goods of creation and to move away from his likeness. That's where they are. That's where we were. And Jesus is saying, I want you to do this for them. Volume 18, 11, 12, 19, 25. You too, on the example of my celestial mother and mine, must embrace in the divine will all the acts done in the Old Testament and those of Mary, the Queen of Heaven, and those done by me, Jesus, and those that are done and shall be done by all the good and all the saints up to the last day. So we enter into this new era already. Upon each one of them, you shall place your seal of requital of love, stamping it. This is now belongs to you, Jesus. This requital of love, of blessing, of adoration, of sanctity, and the power of your most holy divine will, Lord. People are being repaired. Your family's being repaired. They're not lost yet. Jesus is saying, would you stand in the breach for them? Jesus says very, very clearly, nothing must escape you. Be attentive to everything around you, not to complain, not to point out their fault. He says, nothing must escape you. Why? My divine will embraces everything. You must embrace everything and everyone with Jesus's love and place my divine will alone at the first place of honor upon all the acts of all of humanity, past, present, and future. It shall be your imprint, the stamp, which you shall imprint the image of my divine will on all the acts of all of humanity, your family first and everybody else. God's got great plans. He's got great plans and great things are in store. Hang on to your hat. This is a glorious time to be alive. We'll be back in a little bit. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.